Okay, Rabbi, so today's daf is daf Kuf Vav. We're at the very, very top of the Amud. We're continuing to talk about the Inyan of Chalitza. This is the final blot in this perek. Mitzvahs Chalitza. Tana Rabbanan, state in the Braisa. Chalitza Muta'as Kshera. The word Muta'as, of course, has the word To'us in it, which means a mistaken Chalitza. But we don't mean here a mistake. We really mean a Chalitza where we are deceiving the Yovam. The Yovam, for some reason, does not want to give Chalitza. Perhaps he's a bad guy, if you will. Maybe he's demanding money or whatever. And therefore, we can deceive him in making a Chalitza, even though he's really not interested. This Chalitza Mutas is Ksheira. That is a kosher Chalitza. But now we have to define, what do you mean? How do you deceive him? Ezehi Chalitza Mutas, Amrish Lakish, Kosher Oimrim Loi Chalitz, Ubekach Ata Koinza. You can see that this Yavam is no great Talmud Chacham, because we tell him, you know what, you want to be Miyabim, the Yavama? I have a great idea. Why don't you participate in the Chalitza ceremony, and as soon as Chalitza is over, you'll be man and wife. And of course, that's a fallacy. If anything, it's the other way around. Chalitza is what stops the Zika, and from now on, he will not be able to go and marry her any longer, because it'll be already Kimish Lebonish, Vayivne. But anyway, that's what we tell him. And this, in his mind, he thinks, oh, now I'm allowed to go and be miyabim her through this chalitza. This is the teretz of Rish Lakish. Amli Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, this is impossible. Why is it impossible? Because in Yishoyne, we learned a braisa a few days ago, that bench niskaven hu, v'loy niskavne hi, bench niskavne hi, v'loy niskaven hu, chalitza sepsula, chis kavnu shneyem ki achot. They both have to be mechaven l'shem mitzvahs chalitza. She is being mechaben l'shem mitzvahs chalitza because she wants a chalitza. She doesn't want this yavam. However, this yavam is being mechaben liyibum. He's not being mechaben l'chalitza. So according to this braisa, this is garnished. It's nothing. So Bazoi, what type of eitz is this chalitza mutas? V'at amris chalitzosik sheir, you're telling me the chalitza is kosher. Says Yimar Elo, I have another pshat. Kosher oimrim loy chalitz lo. Another form of deceptive chalitza, and that is that apparently he does not want to give a chalitza, and therefore he would like to have a financial incentive or inducement, and he says, you know what, if we're going to do a chalitza, she is going to pay you after the chalitza $200 or $2,000 or whatever it happens to be. So kosha'im lechalitza l'amanasha titin l'chom masayim zuz. That is a chalitza mutas, as Rashi will explain. That tnai that she said she's going to go and pay 200 zuz is not an effective or not a valid tnai, and so therefore if the tnai falls away, since the tnai falls away, he did a chalitza and the chalitza is effective. Now of course the question is, why is this tnai in fact not effective? So the Rashi addresses that. Let's look at the top Rashi. Rashi is going to tell us that we know Hilchos Tanoim, all rules related to conditions, we learn from the Tanai B'nei God U'B'nei Reuven, where it says in the Torah, and we have a number of rules and regulations governing Tanoim that we learn from there. For instance, it's got to be a Tanai Kofel, it's got to be Tanai Koin Lamasa, etc. What our Gemara tells us over here, that there's another rule and regulation, and that is that it's got to be a Maisa that can be done Al Yedei Shaliach. Since you cannot do chalitza al yedei shaliach, therefore a tnai does not work. Let's look at the top Rashi. Zog Rashi, Amanash etin l'chom esayim zuz v'afal gab d'lo yohavale. Even though she ultimately does not give the 200 zuz, chalitzos ekshed, the chalitz is kosher. Kin mefurish b'ksuvus b'hamadir, as we'll soon learn in Mitzvah in the next mesechta, t'chol tnai mebnei god b'nei reuven gom rinan. We learn all Hilchis Tanoim from Bnei God Bnei Reuven. It's got to be a Tanoa she'efsher. You see on the side, le'osois al yedei shliach. It's got to be the type of maisa that can be done through a shliach. She'osa Moshe es Yehoshua shliach lo seis lehemes eretz hagilad. Ah, that was the Tanai over there. That was the whole maisa. The maisa was that eventually when there will be the division of the Nachlois in Eretz Israel, at that point, if you Bnei God Bnei Reuven, if you're going to be hechotzami itchem anoshim latzava, if you're going to go at the front of the line together with everybody else, then you're going to get. If not, you're not going to go and get. But who's going to do the divvying up, the allocation of the places in Eretz Yisrael? That's not going to be Moshe, it's going to be Yeshua. So therefore Yeshua, in a sense, is Moshe Rabbeinu's representative, or his shliach. So therefore, you can only have to know him where it's possible to do the mais al yedei shliach. V'chol tonight the loyef shalasos al yedei shliach. Kigoyin chalitza. And tonight, moil, but tonight is not going to help. The zeutam shodomer, and that's the reason for this pshat, for this gemara. In other words, Rashi is saying is, you're wondering, why is this different than kol ha-Torah kula that tonight helps? This is the reason, because a shliach does not help here. It's got to be, you got to do it yourself. It can't be done through someone else. Is a machloikis among the mafarshim, which part of the chalitza cannot be done by the shliach? Everybody seems to agree that the yovam's part, meaning he's mostly a passive participant in the chalitza, that cannot be done ayidei shliach. He cannot appoint somebody else and say, okay, you be my stand-in today for the removal of the shoe, etc. There's a machloikas, however, legabe whether or not a yevama can appoint a shliach so that she doesn't have to go through the process herself, but in fact appoint somebody else. But bottom line is, if I'm not mistaken, the maskana of the poskim is that it should be done by both, them, they themselves personally, and not through a shliach. So bottom line is, that's the reason why tonight doesn't help, and therefore if we need to go and deceive a yovam in giving a chalitza, that's the way to do it, to promise him the 200. And the Gemara is going to talk and bring now a rai from a brice and a story. Tanya na mihochi chalitza. Yeah.
When Gad Reuven said this to Moshe before Kibush Haaretz, it was a Tanai that was going to be fulfilled in the future. The question is, when it gets fulfilled, does it go back l'mafreya to the time they made it, or do they only get possession at that time? And there's a nafkamina for that.
What's here?
Well, nafkamina is that if it goes back l'mafreya, then there was no shaliach. They actually acquired it then, and they did it with Moshe.
Okay, no, I understand what you're saying, but the Tanai was only, even assuming that the Tanai was Makuyim Lemafreya, but it was only after the Maisa was done through Yeshua. The Rashi refers to the Nachla, could be both the Kibush and the Nachla. But the point is, whenever the effective date is of the Tanai might not be relevant, the important point is that the Maisa to which the Tanai was attached has to be done through, can be done through a shliach, and when it then becomes effective, whether it becomes effective at that time or retroactively, the mice, it's got to be that the mice itself was on or could have been done through a shliach.
That's arguable.
Okay, fine. No problem. But since we're not going to argue today, we're going to, your mantra is always Havas Yisrael, so let's try to be B'Shalom or B'Shalom. And we continue on. Tanim Hachi, I'm sorry you don't have a place at the table. Maybe you want to join me here. Okay. Tanya Mihochi. We bring a raya from a braisa. What's stated in the braisa? Braisa says word for word what we just said. Now, chalitza mutas ksheira. Eze chalitza mutas. What's the definition of chalitza mutas? Kol she'oimim chaloitz lo amanashatita loch masayim zuz. Like we just said. Umaisa b'isha achas. She nafl from the yavam. She ain hogun lo. She fell before a yavam that was not hogun lo. So now, we normally think in our minds, Yom Shein Hogan Law, that means he must have been a bad guy, so to speak. But it doesn't have to be, because in fact, the fact that it says in the Gemara, Law, sounds like he may have been a Yovam Hogan, but just not Hogan Law. And as you recall, we've learned earlier on in our Perek, and in fact we're going to have it in the Mishnah on the Omid Beis, that it says in the Pasuk, the Koru Loi Zikne Iroi, the Dibru Elov, and the Gemara says, what's the Dibru Elov? They go and speak to the Yavam and say, you want to do Yibam, make sure that it's going to be a Tsuge Pasta Shidduch, someone appropriate for you. In other words, if he happens to be 90 and she happens to be 20, or vice versa, it's not a good idea to go and enter into a Yibam, because it will be Bali De Ketata. Usually senior citizens and youthful individuals often have different agendas and different needs. So therefore, the Ein Hogan Law might very well mean it's not appropriate for you, either because of the age, the personality, the hashkof, or whatever it happens to be, and therefore, what's the din? V'omruloi, and they said, the Bezin said to him, Chaloitz Law, go and give a chalitza manasha titan loch masayim zuz. On this tonight, u'bamaiselefnei rebchia v'hechshira. And rebchia said, it's kosher, just like we started off today's daf, chalitza mutas is kosher. Now the Gemara tells us a similar story. and they're going to be a little bit two versions of the story in terms of some of the beginning of the story according to Rashi. Someone came in front of B'chi Baraba, Amalah, and we're talking about a Maisa Chalitza, in other words, a Yavam together with a Yavama, and the Yavama was sitting, is Amalah, so B'chi Baraba said to the Yavama, Biti Amoidi, stand up. Why should you stand up, says Rashi? Amoidi v'hisyabmi loy. In other words, I hear that the Yavam is willing to do Yavam. Please, why don't you go and submit yourself to Yavam?
Yeah, I had a discussion with
Rabbi Ovadia
yesterday, as follows. Rabbi Ovadia says, the whole Yavam has nothing to do really with her. It has to do with the man that died. The Yavam is not for her sake. The Yavam is for the man that died's sake. Why? He was 60, and his son, who was 40, died, and then he died.
I mean, predeceased him, okay.
So now, my question is, what's the problem with this scenario, which nobody discussed, and I'm sure it's a Gurnish scenario. He should really marry her, right, and divorce her.
In fact,
the 90-year-old man should marry the 20-year-old girl, mm-hmm, and divorce her a day later.
And what would
after
be
all, what, let me finish.
Yeah, sure, please finish. Yes, please.
I know that you're very gracious.
Yes, thank you.
He will have Zera.
Yes.
The Yavam is not for her sake. Do
right.
you understand that? The Yavam for the dead man's sake.
Right.
So let's get a baby for him.
Right.
And tomorrow when she gets pregnant 3 months, I discuss it with Rabbi Erman.
And yeah. I said he could do it.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Rabbi? Because he said 1920. I like this 1920 business.
It's a very good question. Let me think about it further, and maybe we'll have further discussions.
We'll have 3 minutes, because I'm leaving in 3 minutes.
Okay, well, I'm not sure, you know, we're talking about a lifetime of living together, you know, in 3 minutes to try to...
You're my rabbi from when I was three.
Yes, really? Nice, interesting. Okay, anyway, let's continue on. So the Gemara tells us that the Yavama was not interested in Yavama, at least she wasn't ready. So Amalah, now he said to her, Biti Amoidi, stand up. Now, the Mefarshim explained, we don't mean literally stand up, we mean in a poetic license type of form. In other words, get ready, the Yavama is here, you're Yavama, okay, let's have Yavama. Obviously, Yavama is a very private, intimate type of thing, so we don't mean to do it publicly. He just meant to say, okay, let's move on. However, Amrelei Ima, this is Ima is misspelled. Ima means her mommy, the mother of the Yavama, said, Yeshivasa Zuhamidasa. No, she is not ready to do Yivam. Quite to the contrary, Rashi says, Yeshivasa, were she to go and be Misyabim, this would not be a takana for her. Rather, her yeshiva, her continuing to sit on her hands and not participating in the Yibam, that is her takana, that's the way it should be. What happened? Omullah. So now, Reb Chia, who is now in charge, Reb Chia Bar Abba, who's in charge of this Yibam or Chalitza, Omullah, Yadislay, do you know this fellow? Do you know that there's something wrong? That there's a reason not to participate in Yibam? Omullah, and yes, I know very, very well. The reason why the Yavam wants to do Yibam is Mamoinahu de Chazola. It's because he heard that she is wealthy, that his brother left over a nice estate, and he'd like to yash in the estate, the Kaboyla Mechlimina, and that's the reason why he wants to marry her. And in fact, Rashi continues on, and after he has an opportunity to eat up all of the assets in the estate, Umigrisha, he's gonna go and give her a get. So therefore, he's not interested in Yibam. He's not interested, like Rabbi Ovadia said before, Lahakim Lahakim Shem Yisrael. He wants to go and fill his pockets and his bank accounts with tons of money. And after that happens, boom, he's gonna give her a get and say, sayonara. Not a very nice guy. This is what Mami said to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. It's Omullah. So now he turns to the Yavama, the daughter, the Yavama. Tell me, what's your view? Is that your view as well? In other words, do you agree with your mother? Amalei, loy, I am not interested in marrying him. In other words, Amalei, is it not nicha for you to be misyabim? Amalei, loy, no, it's taken, not nicha, I'm not interested. Amalei, therefore, said Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba to the Yavam, chaloitzla, Giver a chalitza. And now he added, ubekach ata koinza. And as a result of doing this chalitza, that will be the maisa yibum, which we said, of course, on top, that that is not effective, because said Rabbi Yochanan, bin ishkaven hu, bin ishkaven hi, bin ishkaven hi, bin ishkaven hu. It's got to be both of them, ishkaven ki echad. Aha. Okay, but this fellow had not learned the daf that morning, so he didn't know that. So the Yavim or the Choleitz, he did it. He did Chalitza, and he figured everybody would say, now Mazel Tov, ah, now he was Nisyavim. The boss of the Choleitz, as soon as the Chalitza was over, Omalei, said now Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Hashtun mi nach ifsalala, Chalitza, Chalitza mi aliasa, Kechad Tishrei li alma. What does the Gemara mean? So the Gemara at the very top of the Omud said, the Braisa that Rabbi Yochanan was quoting was that in a case where you didn't have the Kavanah of Shneyam, you only had one-sided Kavanah, it's what we call a Chalitza Pesula. Now on the surface, Chalitza Pesula sounds like it's nothing, right? It's totally ineffective. But we have Rashi back on Friday that wrote from another Gemara that whenever the Gemara uses the expression Chalitza Pesula, it just means to go and be mater her li'achim, to go and marry somebody else, but not for purposes of to marry the shuk, but not for the achim. If you look at the Rashi in Kuf Hey Amud Aleph, that's yesterday's Rashi, I said Friday, really yesterday, five lines from the top, says Rashi Tekaim L'masecht is Gittin Kol Mokin Sheshaninu, everywhere we learned Chalitza Psula, Psula U'Poiseles Ala Achim. Get posel? Posel u'poisel min hakula. When you took Migmar, use the expression of Chalitza Psula, it doesn't mean that it's worthless. It does have some effect. What is that effect? That the Achim can no longer do Yibam, they can only do Chalitza. They have to do an effective Chalitza, because this Chalitza was a Chalitza Psula. True. But Lamaisa, it accomplished enough that they no longer can be Miyabim her. And if they try to be Miyam, it will be over on the Kimish Leibona, Shuvlo Yivne Iso. So that being the case, says now Rabbi Rabba, I am familiar with Rabbi Yochanan's Braisa that says that both of them have to be Mechavin. Maskim. And if only one's Mechavin, in this case the Yavama and not the Yavam, Chalitza Psula. But bottom line, as a result of that Chalitza Psula, you can no longer go and be Miyabim her, because it was a 50% Chalitza. So therefore, you might as well now give a Chalitza Berotzoin Ubekavana, so that she should be able to be Muteres Leshuk, because anyway, she is prohibited and precluded from marrying you.
Is there any discussion about fooling somebody, somebody, or a Beistin, or a Chacham?
Absolutely.
Fooling somebody. In order to accomplish what appears to be the right thing. Mm-hmm. What are the boundaries for that?
In fact, the art school brings here from numerous mafarshim, how do we allow this type of trickery? Would we go and allow trickery in other cases? And they goes through all the reasons, whether it's derais, it's derabanan, and different makoidis for how we allow this. But getting back to the beginning of the story, if you remember, was that they came in front of Chiya Bar Abba, and he said to her, Biti Amoidi, stand up, go and do Yibam. And the mommy said, Yishivasu Amidasa, she's much better off sitting down and not participating in Yibam, because this is a bad guy. And then he said, Amalai Yadislai, do you know about him, that he's really a bad guy? Amalai, and yes, I know all about him. That's the first Pshat Rashi. Second Pshat Rashi is a little bit different. Second Pshat Rashi was that, again, they came in front of Chiya Bar Abba, and he said to her, Biti Amoidi, stand up and participate in a Chalitza ceremony, because he knew that that's why they were coming, for Chalitza. Said the mommy, I'm very sorry, my daughter cannot stand up because she's a kita'as or a chola. Rachmona Litzlan, she's either an amputee or she is sick and she just cannot stand up. So don't tell her to stand up. So then the Dayan, Reb Chiya Bar Abba, said, does the Yavam know about the fact that she is unfortunately chola? And the mother says, yes, he knows. So why is he interested in being miyabim her? Because he's not interested in her, he's interested in the money! And therefore she could be a manuvala mukashchin, she could have all the maladies and all the illnesses in the world. He's not interested in her, he's interested in the cash. And as soon as he gets the money, boom, he'll go and give her again. So you see, the two pshatim of Rashi both fit into the words, biti amoidi, according to the first pshat, get ready for Yibam, and she said, no, she's much better not being Misyabim, but rather should be a Chalitza. Second pshat is, participate in the chalitza, and the mommy says, but she can't stand up. She can't stand up, but she's a chayla. Does Yavam know that? And he says, oh boy, does he know that. And but nevertheless, he's still looking for the mama. Anyway, the two pshatim and Rashi. Continuing on, the Gemara is going to have a similar story now, and this story unfortunately has a bit of a tragic ending to it. The story, it begins, Bas Chamua de Rav Papa. Bas Chamua means the daughter of the shver of Rav Papa, meaning Rav Papa's sister-in-law. But it was a sister-in-law because the two wives were sisters. So Rav Papa is married to his wife. The wife has a sister. The sister is the daughter of the shver of Rav Papa. And, unfortunately, her husband passed away. That has nothing to do with Rav Papa. Rav Papa was not the brother. He's just the brother-in-law because the two women are sisters. And therefore, his sister-in-law is now falling liyibam or to chalitza. Says Bas Chamud Rav Papa naflu lefnei yavam she'ein hogen lo. Also inappropriate. Asla kamed Abaye came in front of Abaye. Omale chaloitzla ubekach ato koinza. The way you want to do yibam is give chalitza, and that will be the yibam. That will be the chalitza. That'll be, I'm sorry, it will be chalitza, but you'll think that this is Knesset, this will be a yib. It's Omele Rapapa. So Rapapa said to Abaye, don't you remember the brisa that Rabbi Yochanan brought at the very top of the Omud? Ben Shiniskabin who? Ben Shiniskabin he? Ben Shiniskabin he? Ben Shiniskabin who? It's chalitza psula at Shiniskabin Ushneyem. So Abaye said to Rapapa, no, Velahechi Emele. We see from the Gemara that Abaye did not know Rav Papa, and he didn't know the godless of Rav Papa, because we'll see at the end of the Gemara, Abaye is going to be very strong in his praise, which is unfortunately going to have a tragic consequence. But anyway, so Abaye said to Rav Papa, "Nu v'lehecha emalei, so what should I tell him instead? We want to deceive him in giving chalitza. What are we going to do? Amalei, Rabbi, you should go and say, chaloitzla menashe titan lach masayim zuz. And like we said at the top of the Amud, since all the Tanoim we learn from B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain, and since this cannot be done Ayyadei Shliach, the Tanai will fall away and we'll have an effective Chalitza. Okay, Abaye said, Rapapa, an excellent idea, and he said to the fellow, participate in the Chalitza, she's going to give you 200 zuz. The boss of the Chalitza, after the Chalitza was over, Omallah, he said to her now, Zil Havle, why don't you go and pay him the 200 zuz? Explains Rashi. That Avad Abaye says to Rapapa, I'm asking to you that Als Hilchis Tnoim, she is potter to go and pay. Because it's not like Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain. However, it's no worse than any other Schirus. Meaning, he has performed a service. The performing of the service was he participated in this Chalitza ceremony. And therefore, pay him for that, like any time you would go and pay a person for a service. As Omalei, so said Rapapa now to Abaye, I'm very sorry, Abaye. She does not have to pay anything. Why? Because she can go and say, Mishata Anibuch of the Lay. She can go and say, I tricked you. Mile Tanya didn't. We have something similar in the Sechses Bava Kama. As Shahoya Bereach mi Beiso Asur, and if we have a person Nebuch who's fleeing jail, and it's Mashav in the Gemara that he should not have been put in jail, but that the government illegally put him in jail, probably because he was Jewish or whatever. V'hoisa mebra lefonav, and there was a ferry in front of him. V'omalei, and this former prisoner jumps onto the ferry, and he says to the ferry owner or ferry manager, toil dinner v'avi reini. I want you to go and take me to the other side so that I can flee from my captors. And the normal price, as we'll see in the Gemara, was much, much less. Perhaps a quarter, 50 cents, a dollar, whatever it was. And dinner was the equivalent to chwais of $50, $100. And he says, I'm going to give you $100, just get me to the other side. Now he took him to the other side. Inui al-Ischaroi is only entitled to get whatever the normal rate would be to hire a ferry to the other side. If the normal rate is a dollar, he's only entitled to get his dollar. Alma, what do we see from that Gemara? Amalei mishatani bach, that a person has the right to go and say, I tricked you, you're not entitled to go and get more than the normal regular schar. Hachanam mishatani bach, the same thing applies over here. Then why over there are you allowed to say mishatani bach, and why over here are you allowed to say mishatani bach? Say the mafoshim, because in both cases, it's incumbent upon other people to go and help out and to save. In other words, what happens for chas v'shalom, a person is drowning. And I happen to be there and I can swim and I'm able to go and save the person. So I pull the person out of the water momentarily and say, I'm gonna go and save you, but you gotta go and pay me $1,000. Okay, fine. Then I go and pull the person out, and I say to the person, okay, you got to pay me $1,000. The answer is no, you don't have to pay him anything. The reason why you don't have to pay anything is because it's a mitzvah incumbent on every Jew to go and help out another Jew or Jewess when they happen to be in a very difficult situation. Upsarcha al tesalem. If you see anybody, chas v'shalom, who is either in serious health issues or chas v'shalom serious financial issues, it's incumbent of everybody to be able to help out to the extent that you're able to. So here, when someone is running out of jail, and again, the assumption is that this person should not have been jailed in the first place, so now the ferry owner should go and help him out. So instead of going and saying, oh no, you got to pay me $100 and I'll let you go on the other side, therefore, just like a mshatani bach. Same thing over here. In this case of chalitza, where it was an inappropriate chalitza, she can go and say, no, 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 we have to go and help me. I'm in a very dire circumstance because I shouldn't be stuck with this yavam for whatever reason. And therefore, people should be helping her out. And if she promised the 200, she can go and say mishatani bach. This is, of course, on a very superficial level, but that's bottom line, the consensus on the mafarshim. Yes, Fred.
In your example of somebody drowning and they don't have to pay. Let's say he was a sochir and he was in the middle of working for an odo. Mm-hmm. And he has to interrupt his work. Does mm-hmm. Does the drowning person have to pay him for his time?
Mm-hmm. Presumably, yes. Because you have a similar Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia, where the Gemara says that although there's a din that you can't lesuchelis aleim, you're not allowed to go and ignore an aveda in the street, and you have to go and give the aveda back. But the Gemara says, however, if the person who found the aveda is a person who's losing now wages for an hour or two, having to go and locate and track and give back the aveda, then he'd be entitled to go and get his payment here as a schar bottle for his bittelsman. So presumably here too, but the bittelsman of this very guy is, you know, going across and coming back. And therefore, he normally charges the dollar. He's not allowed to go and take the $100.
But he could say, I usually don't go across until I have three or four people, and I wouldn't go for one person, but since you offered a big sum, I would do it.
And possibly that's the case.
And they would have to pay, I think, whatever.
For the two or three people, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it makes sense. What you're saying makes sense. Zok di Gemara. So now, Abaye was very impressed with Rapapa. Rapapa, number one, told him, don't tell the fellow, Chaloitz, Shebezir Atakoinza, you can't go and do that because of Rabbi Yechon's Brisa, but rather go and say, I'll take the $200. And when Abaye wanted to be Machayev for her to pay the $200, said her Papa, no, she doesn't have to pay Mishatani Bach. So Abaye was very impressed. Amalei, and he asked now Rapapa, Avuchecha, where is your father from, or where is he? Amalei Vimasa, he's in the Shtot, he's in the city. Imachecha, where is your mother? Amalei Vimasa, in the city. Yov Bu'ene Ushchivan. And then Abaye, either literally or figuratively, focused his eyes on the parents of Rapapa, and they unfortunately passed away. It's a very tragic ending to the story. Now, the question is, what's this discussion at the very end of the story? So if you look at the very middle of the Rashi, in the middle of the Amid, you have Omale Abaye Rapapa, where he says, you have then, Avuch Hecha, you know, a little line or two?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Avuch Hecha, where's your father, Kalimah? Kimedumani sheyesh lecha av ve'aim smuchim lecha lesapik tzrachecha. It seems to me that you're getting full support from your parents. Lafichach ka mechadadon shmaitech. Therefore, it's not necessary for you to go and worry about both parnasa and learning. Baruch Hashem, parnasa is covered, apparently, from your parents. And therefore, that's how you became such an Odom Gadol, such a big Talmud Chacham. It's unbelievable. Presumably, Rapapa was still a young man, and he's giving him such a beautiful compliment. Wow, you're such a Chacham. It must be that you didn't have to worry about, you know, plowing the field. Your parents took care of you, and therefore, Baruch Hashem. Now, as a result of that, Nebuchadnezzar's parents passed away. Now, why would that be parents passing away? So, we can understand it perhaps with the Inyan of Ayin Hara, that when people focus attention, wow, this person is so great and so wonderful, Chas v'Shalom, and Ayin Hara can happen. And there's another Gemara that says that Kol Mokim She Nosnu Chachomim Einayim Oy Nisa Oy Oyni, which means that if someone became the focus of attention of the Chachom, and apparently in the type of connotation, type of connection that we're just speaking about of Chas v'Shalom and Ayin Hara, then if the Chacham go and focus, unfortunately it could have bad consequences. And that's Nebuch the consequences that we had over here. Not that Rapapa did anything wrong, to the contrary. Abaye thought of him as being, wow, what a big time Chacham, but because of the fact that he's thinking about the parents and talking about the parents. Boy, the parents were zeicher to such a son. This kind of unfortunately had negative consequences. But the Mefarshim point out something. First of all, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says in the back of the Gemara that Avad and Avad Abaye didn't mean that anything terrible should happen. This Nebuch unfortunately happened as a result of the Nesinas Ayin, as a result of the Ayin Hara. But under normal circumstances, Avad Chas V'Shalom, Abaye didn't want to do it. Certainly against his Ratzon. That's number one. The Aruch Lener points out something which we'll all recall, and that is Abaye was a Yosem from both sides. How he's a Yosem from both sides? Because when his mother was pregnant, his father passed away, and his mother Nebuch passed away during labor, or shortly thereafter. And therefore, in fact, the Gemara brings often, number one, that who's the one that brought Abaye up?
Rabbi
Banachmeni, who may or may not have been a Korav of his. And remember, we had the Gemara yesterday, they were both Kehanim, so it sounds like they were both, maybe his uncle, yeah, Konzai. Anyway, in fact, according to some of the Mefarshim, the reason why he was called Abaye is because originally Abaye was also called Nachmeni, and other Gemaras it says they referred to Abaye as Nachmeni, and the Rabbi Bar Nachmeni did not want to call Abaye after the name of his father. Perhaps his father was still alive, maybe he was young, was alive, whatever, and he didn't want to go and say Nachmeni because that would remind everybody about Rabbi Nachmeni's father, and therefore that's why he called him Abaye. Abaye, like in Yiddish, they would say Tatala, young Tata. Abaye's Ab with the extra Yud Yud, meaning a Yinga Tatala. Other Mefarshim say that the word Abaye stands for a posik in which we learn in the Haftarah, Asher Becho Yerucham Yosim. Rosh Tevis Asher Becho Yerucham Yosim, that Nebuch he was a Yosim, and that's how he got the name Abaye. But anyway, but the point is, Abaye, in fact, and the Gemara says sometimes that Abaye quotes his mother, and then Rashi always points out he doesn't mean his real mother, he means his stepmother, the nurse, the one that that raised him. So therefore, Abaye is now saying, I unfortunately had very terrible childhood. I didn't have parents. And you can imagine how difficult my life was. And I had to, every single Gemara was tremendous Mesiris Nefesh. I see it, Rapapa, for you, it goes very easily. It must be that you had, Baruch Hashem, wonderful parents that raised you. And maybe there was kind of a tinge of jealousy, if you will. And unfortunately, that led to the terrible consequences. One further, and that's, by the way, the Aruch Lener brings that about the fact that Abaye was the Yosef for both sides. I mean, it says in the Gemara, but that's, he throws it in over here to add a little bit more color and character to the story. One final point is that Rapapa is brought in the Gemara as a very, very wealthy person. The reason why he was very wealthy is because he owned a brewery where he brewed beer. So this would apparently be when he was still very young, maybe before he became a beer brewer. Because after he became a beer brewer, he didn't need his parents to go and support him. He had, Baruch Hashem, a lot of parnosa from the brewery. Anyway, yes?
Usually when the Gemara says, Yohav bu ene, it's usually with intent.
Mm-hmm.
They usually, you know, the bones, they go up in smoke, they burn,
exactly.
All kinds of bad stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is very troubling to somebody like Abaye, because Rapapa gave him a different etzah, didn't agree with what he had told the Yavama.
Right.
It's very troubling.
So that's why I quoted Rabbi Yaakov Emden that said Avad Abaye would never want these terrible consequences.
But that's what I said,
the words
seem to indicate it was intent, it wasn't that
unintentional. No, I understand, but that's why you didn't make that mistake.
Okay.
So it was a big tamiya saying, wow, whew, what a tremendous anyway, that's to be honest.
It's a little story.
Please.
For many years ago, I had a disagreement with a big Rosh Yeshiva having to do with Lashon Hara.
Right.
I try to gently tell him, you know, maybe you shouldn't have said this. I told the story to somebody else. He says, don't start up with Chachamim because you don't know what they could do. they could do things to you like Yahid Eine.
Yeah. You're lucky for doing it in a very positive way. I think I know who you're referring to. I heard a story from somebody else that there were a couple of other people that were not gentle, and that they did unfortunately had very bad things happening subsequently. One passed away young, the other one never had another krankheit, and his wife and this and that. Well, whatever. Anyway,
the mother for that, that Yaakov said that about Rachel with the trophin.
Yeah, what
is
that?
Is that the mother of his chassid?
That's certainly one of the makoros, but I think what Fred is really saying is that Talmid Chacham, always be very careful, because Chas Hashem, you say anything upstairs in Shemayim, they might go and take care of his covered, and Chas Hashem do something. We spoke about, we're in Daf Kuvav, and we're roughly two-thirds, three-quarters down the Amud, my good friend, where it says Tan Rabbanu, where they have two dots. Are you with us? Do you have that? Yeah. Great. Thank you for joining us. It's Tan Rabbanan. So we started at the top of the Omid, Chalitza Muta'as K'sheira, and we already explained, Chalitza Muta'as K'sheira means that you added on a T'nai, a condition. Even if the condition was not fulfilled, the Chalitza is kosher nevertheless. However, get Muta is possible. If you attached a T'nai to a get, then it would be possible. And that goes, that's consistent with what Rashi said before, because you can give a get Al Yidei Shaliach. And the obvious question the Mefarshim ask is, why? Why can't you do a Chalitza Al Yidei Shaliach? And why can you give a Get Al Yidei Shaliach? And the answer is because it says in the Torah, V'chol Tzenale Me'al Ragloi. It doesn't say V'chol Tzenale Me'al Regel. Therefore, Ragloi has got to be his foot. And therefore, I cannot ask my friend, please substitute your foot on behalf of my foot. Because that would be taka a real feat to be able to do something like that. Anyway, the point is that that doesn't work. It can't be Ayyidei Shliach. But Masha Enki, when it comes to giving the get, it doesn't talk about it has to be his foot. Just that he has to go and give the get to her, and therefore she can appoint the Shliach, just like he can appoint the Shliach. Anyway, so since by a get, a Shliach can be appointed, and a Chalitza, a Shliach cannot be appointed, here the Tanai works, and here the Tanai does not work. Chalitza Meusis Psula, get ma'usa kosher. Now, the word ma'usis means if it's forced. A forced chalitza, if you force the yavam and yavama to participate in a chalitza ceremony, does not work. If you force a person, the man to go and give a get to the woman, then it is kosher. By the way, this is a long one. Yeah.
We rule otherwise that get ma'usa is possible.
You're absolutely right. And Mi'at Hashem, when we get to Masechta's Gittin, we'll see that there's going to be a lengthy discussion. Who did the ma'usa? How was it done? Where? When? What? Because a get ma'usa is kosher only very, very, very narrowly defined circumstances. As a general rule, in fact, it's not kosher. But our Gemara takes that very, very remote case, and get Mu'usis kosher. Or it could be that this Braisa argues with is not l'halach. But anyway, but it says Chalitza Mu'usis is possible, get Mu'usis kosher. Freik Dimar Hechidami. Explain to me what the situation is by this Mu'usa case. If you're saying that ultimately the Yovam or the husband said, okay, I'm maskim to give the get or to do the chalitza, so for the chalitza nami, so then it should work by chalitza too, not only by get, if it's maskim, in fact, then it's no longer musa. If he says, no, I'm not going to do it, and we're forcing him to participate, it's get namilai, so then by get it should not work, like you just said a moment ago. Everyone, hachik amar, chalitza mutas li oilam kosher, the get muta li oilam posel, the first part of the braisa which we spoke about before, that's in all cases. Chalitza mutas, kosher, get mutza is possible. However, when it comes to chalitza, chalitza ma'usis, the get ma'usa, zimnin kosher, the zimnin possible. Sometimes it's kosher, sometimes it's possible. Hodi amaroitzani, hodli amaroitzani. It depends, did he say roitzani, or did he not say roitzani? What do you mean, desanya? We have a braisa. This pasuk is referring to a person who's supposed to bring a carbon oila, and he refused, and the Bezid is now forcing him to bring that carbon oil. So it says in the Pasuk, Em oila karboni min abakar, zachar tomim yakri venu, el pesach oil miroid, yakrev oisoi, lirtsoin oilef ne'ashem. What bothers Chazal is that the words yakrev oisoi are totally superfluous, because it already said, yakri venu. El pesach oil miroid, yakrev oisoi, we're just repeating it two times. Says Yimar, Yaakov Oysa Malamit Shekoifen Oysa, this extra Yaakov Oysa means the Bezin can go and force him to go and fulfill his pledge to bring a carbon oil. Yoch Bal Korchai, if you can force him, that means Bal Korchai. Tom Aloy, no, it says, Yaakov Oysa Lirtsoin Oilef Ne Hashem. This seems to be contradictory. It's either Yaakov Oisai Bal Korchai or it's Ritzainai. That you can go and force him until he says, I give up and I am maskin. If you're Koifan Oisai and he's not willing to say Ritzani, no good. If you say Koifan Oisai, you give him a poor patch until he finally says, okay, Ritzani, then it is good. Same thing. Of course, everybody is bothered. What's the concept? You force a person until he says Ritzani. This is a very famous Rambam in Hilchas Gittin that discusses this, where Rambam says that every Yid Be'emesin wants to do the right thing. Every Yid down in the Pintel in Hashemi, rather he wants to do the right thing. Unfortunately, the Yetzirah unfortunately gets on top of him and takes over the person, takes over his body, takes over the neshama. So therefore we have to give him a couple of pets to come push the Yetzihara to the side. Once the Yetzihara goes to the side, he says, yeah, I really want Ritzani. Oh yeah, famous Rambam. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the point is, says the Gemara, that this principle applies both to get as well as to chalitza. Aye, so what's pshat now in this braisa when it said chalitza mu'usis psula? Chalitza mu'usis is talking about in a case where he did not say roitzani. Gen mu'usa kosh is talking about when he did say roitzani. Okay, so that's Gemara's teretz. But now textually, that's a little bit shver. Why didn't the braisa say both chalitza and get, depending on the circumstances, they're either posel or they're kosher? This teretz l'chayzim, this is shver. Says the Ritva, I'll explain to you pshat in the braisa. The braisa is trying to tell us the chidush in both directions. In the case of chalitza mu'usis psula, what means psula? Means that we forced him and he did not say roitza ani. I would think that the whole problem with the chalitza mu'usis is that she wants to go and marry now Lishuk, and marrying Lishuk, of course, is an aveira, loisia eishes hameis hachutz lishzar, but it's an isur which is a chayove lavin. It's not a chayove kores. That being the case, I would think maybe even if he didn't say roitzani, as long as he participated in the chalitza, we can be mekel, we can be matter. Says Yimora, nine. Even though it's an isur lav, if he didn't say roitzani, it's basel. Even though it's an isur lav. Kolshkin, of course, a get, which is shaykh an inyan of kores, an inyan of misa. Getting now to the second part. Get ma'usa is kosher. Get ma'usa, when is it kosher? When you say roitzani. I would say, after all, giving, allowing for this get, and now she's going to remarry somebody else. If the get, in fact, is possible, and she's going to marry somebody else, Hashem is an isser of kore. It's an ish, inyan of ishis ish. It's an inyan of misa. She can go and get chenek, or she can go and get skila, the sreifa, depending whether it's eris and nisuin, or koin. Anyway, that's heavy duty stuff. So therefore, zoktin zigimara, the Gemara is telling us the chidushim in both ways. The bada both chalitz and get, if it's roitzani, they're both kosher. If it's bal korche without roitzani, they're both posel. The reason why the braisa splits it up is to tell us the chiddush in both directions. That the chalitz in the case of when it's mu'usis, which he did not, when he did not say roitzani, it's posel, even though it's only nisalav, only nisalav. So we think, maybe we can make it. No, it's posel. Get mu'usa, even though we're talking about heavy duty mamzeris and isa misa and koris and all the rest. If he said roitzani, it's kosher. And that's how he learned pshat in the braisa. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. Now, Amrav Schura. Now we're starting, really there should be a two dots here because we're starting a new inyan now. What the inyan is, does the Beis Din have to know the identities of the Yavam and the Yavama? Or for that matter, the Gemara is also going to talk about an inyan of Miun. Meaning, two people come in front of Beis Din. Nobody knows them. They just came from France. They're running away from Terer Rachmona Litzlan, Chas V'Shalom. Anyway, they come in. He says, I'm a Yavam. She says, I'm Yavama. We want to go and do Chalitza. The Beis Din doesn't know them. The question is, do they need to have proof that he's a Yavam, she's a Yavama? Do they need to know any background? Well, no. Do the Chalitza and do whatever you want. Give them tight. That's the question of the Gemara. So it says the Gemara, Amarav Schura, Amarav Huna, Cholzin Avo Pisha Ein Makirim. The Beis Din can participate and listen and watch and say, yes, it was a proper chalitza, even though they don't know who the cholitz is and they don't know who the cholitz is. They don't know the yavam or the yavam. Mimanin, we allow for miyun, meaning a young girl that got married before the age of Bas Mitzvah, she got married not through a father, because had a father married her off, that would be already a Kedushin D'Oraisa, and the only way to terminate that Kedushin would be either through Chas V'Shalom, through Misa, or through a get. But here we're talking about that her mother or her older brothers married her off, and therefore, since that's only Kedushin D'Rabbanan, the same Rabbanan said that she can be Mema'enes before she gets to Bas Mitzvah. Okay, so what happens if you have a young girl of 11 years old comes to the Beis Din and she says, I don't want to participate anymore in my marriage. I want to terminate the marriage. It's fine. Memanim avo pisha ein makir. Says now the Gemara lefichach, and as a result, ein koisin get chalitza elim kein makirin, ein koisin get mion elim kein makirin. The word get over here doesn't mean the get like we think of it normally. The word get is like in English, a writ or a document. And the point of this writ or document is to be a receipt. That we want that this woman, if she's now a chalutza, or she's a mima'enes, we want her to be able to remarry. So people are going to say, how do I know that you got a chalitza? Maybe you still have a zika to your yavam. She takes out of her pocket, oh, you see what I got here? It's my get chalitza, to show a writ from the Bezdin, from the Edom, saying, yeah, we know for sure that she had a chalitza. Same thing that got me this young girl. Yes, we know for sure that she had a miun, that she gave it, she was mema'enes, and here is the proof. Says the Gemara, since we don't recognize them, then don't write a get chalitz or get miun. Why not? Because you might have a situation where the Yavama does not want to look the Yavam in the eye, or the Yavam doesn't want to give the chalitza to the Yavama, and the Yavama says, oy, oy, I'm never going to be able to get married. This, my Yavam, he's such a hateful, such a terrible guy, he never wants to give me a chalitza. So what does she do? She calls up her friend, Yankel, says, Yankel, will you do me a favor? It's a real big favor. I love you. Please come do me a favor. Oh, what's the favor? All I want you to do is be a passive participant in a chalitza. Yeah, but I'm not your Yavam. We'll go in front of a Bezin that won't ask any questions whatsoever. As Bezin Shein Makir. We go in front of that Bezin. This is my Yavam. Are you the Yavam? Yeah, sure, of course I'm a Yavam. Don't I look like a Yavam? Yeah, of course. And I'm the Yavama. Okay, so now they go through the whole ceremony of the Chalitza. And the Bezin says, according to our Gemara, Ein Makir, I don't have to ask any questions. I just have to witness the fact that there was... But obviously this is not a kosher Chalitza if it was Yankel that gave the Chalitza instead of her Yavam. Therefore, says the Gemara, don't write a get chalitza if you don't know who they are. Why? The chashin lebezin toyin. She's going to go afterwards to another rav or to another bezin and show her get chalitza. The get chalitza was signed by the chief rabbis of Kushkin Halosh and of Ketchkimeti and of Yundyush. You see, oh, these big, big, big rabbis, and they all signed it with their own chasimus kriyat kochem. So you see that I happen to be a chalitza. She didn't tell them, and the new Bezin, unfortunately, is a Bezin Toyin, not such great chief rabbis, minor league rabbis, not major league rabbis, and they see this get chalitza, they say, these big rabbis signed that she's a chalitza, she must be a chalitza. That's why, if you allow, we will allow a chalitza in front of Bezin Shein Makira, but we won't give her the proof, we won't give her the written document. Same thing Legabe Miyun.
Is a girl who does Miyun, can she marry a Kohen?
Can she marry a Kohen? As far as I know, yes.
I think so.
Except for a Kohen Gadol, because she would be,
yeah.
she wouldn't be a Psula. Unless, in fact, she was only through Eris and she never had any son.
Right.
But I think she's not considered to be a Grusha, and I believe she can marry a Kohen. Yeah. And Rava, now this was Rava in the name of Rav Schura. Now Rava says in its own name, no, I respectfully disagree. Ein Choltan Elam Kemakirin, Vein Manam Elam Kemakirin. A Bezin should not allow for a Chalitza or a Miyun unless they really know who the people are. And if they don't know who they are, then they'll have to go and bring Edom. In other words, both the Yavam and the Yavam will have to bring Edom. Yes, and we know this person, and we can certify that he's trustworthy. In fact, we know that they have to be Yavam and Yavam. In other words, they have to have Edom, like in any Bezin, you have to have Edom. Yeah.
We had a situation the other day about a man or woman, they were in jail, and they did,
And Rabbi Kiva said that it was okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how do? That's without any makirim, without any witnesses, without anything.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? According to Rabbi Akiva.
How would that work? Maybe Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold of this halacha. In other words, when it happens to come in front of the bezin, Rabbi Kiva says you don't need a bezin. Right. Okay. What happens, in fact, if they do come in front of the Bezin? So the Rav Schura said, fine, good, let the Bezin watch and let the Bezin say, yeah, you did a kosher chalitza. Says Rava, if they don't know them, don't allow for that type of writing. If they don't know them, they shouldn't allow for the chalitza because of I'm afraid Taka Bezdin Toyin, and therefore make sure that the Bezdin knows exactly who these people are. If you want to do it privately, Rabbi Kiv says it's fine. You want to do it in front of the Bezdin needs to know all the details before they allow it to happen. You cannot do a chalitza. The bezin should not allow for a chalitza unless they know the parties. And lefichach, as a result, koisin get chalitza ava bisha ein makirin. The koisin get me an ava bisha ein makirin. V'lechashin lebezin toyin. And therefore, since we're saying you can only do it with makirin, therefore they could write a get chalitza ava bisha ein makirin. They can go write a get chalitza, and we're not worried about the first bezin now. This is the words don't work right. We just said ein chotz el mke makirim, ein man el mke makirim. Lafich koisin get chalitza avo pisha ein makirim. We just said now you can't go and do a chalitza without makirim. So Rashi is saying we're referring to the people that are writing the get chalitza. They are the edim. The edim were there, meaning these edim were not edim to prove anything. They were just innocent observers. They were there, and they saw how a chalitza was performed by a bezin of three good rabbis, and in other words, in front of them, they were the ones that officiated. And you had the chus and kala, in the case of the miyun, or you had the yavam yivam in the case of the chalitza. So now it's all over. Now these two edim are allowed to go and write the gittin, even though they are not makir, because they say, I don't have to know. I just rely on this bezin. And since a bezin can allow for a chalitza me, and only if they're makirin, so fine, then these two edim can go and sign, even though they themselves don't know, but I rely that the bezin knew. And makir lechashin lebezin toyin, I'm not worried that the bezin made a mistake, because we can rely that the bezin knew what was going on. Anyway, that's the end of this Gemara, and now we start the final Mishnah in our Perek. The Mishnah in the Gemara is very, very straightforward. A lot of it we've already learned in the Perek before. Zok the Mishnah, mitzvah chalitza. Now the Mishnah basically is going through the procedures. How does it all work? Bahu the Yevemtoi, the Yovim and the Yevama come to Bezin. They misin loy Eitza haHigenes loy, and they give him a proper Eitza. And Rashi says, like we said on the Omid Aleph, that Kelech Eitza Shekamoyscha, go and take a woman of the same type as you. The Gemara gave, for instance, examples. If it happens to be a great disparity in age, he's 90 and she's 20. She's 90, he's 20, or they happen to have different hashkafas, they happen to have different personalities, where it's just not going to work out. So therefore the Bezin goes and says, how do I know that we give him Eitz again? It's like Shemitz, the possible, right? They call him over. The Dibru Eilav. Now what is the Dibru? What do they talk to him about? They don't talk to him about sports, about the weather. They talk to him about this Yibam that we're going to participate in, and they want to know, is this really Tzugepast? And when they figure out that it's not appropriate, they say to the Yavim, we're giving you an Eitzah Hagenes. Halachically, you're allowed to go and be Miyabem, but it's not a good idea because it doesn't look like this marriage is going to last more than 5 minutes. So therefore, to go and enter into holy matrimony and then give a get 5 minutes later, it's not such a wonderful idea. So now that we have concluded that the Yavim, the Yavam say, okay, we're not going to go ahead, we're going to do a chalitza. The Hiyoy Meres, so now we start the chalitza, and she says, Me'ein Yavami l'hakam l'achav Shem b'Yisrael, lo'yav yabmi. She says, that's why we're here, he doesn't want to. V'u'oymer lo'ychavatzi l'kachta, and he says, I taka don't want her. These words that we just said now should be said Lashon HaKodesh, and the Gemara in Sechta Soita learns from Psukim that you cannot go and substitute other words in English or in Spanish. It's got to be said in English.
So it's ma'akev if it's not in Lashon HaKodesh.
Is it ma'akev or not? So you're asking a very good question. You'll remember we had an earlier Mishnah that there are three parts.
Korim is one that you didn't have to do.
Exactly. So Korim is not Ma'akev B'diyevet.
Right.
And this Gemara, when it says Lashon HaKodesh, it means Lichas Chila, it should be said Lashon HaKodesh. Because B'diyevet, even if they didn't say anything, the Chalitza is effective. But Lichas Chila, it should be said Lashon HaKodesh.
Why? They advise him in a 20, 90-year-old example. Mm-hmm. They advise him not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then his Shmobi Yisrael, it's going to be, his name is going to be wiped out.
That was Obadiah's question.
So you have to weigh it. Mm-hmm. What's more important, that that the brother's name is Mekayim,
mm-hmm.
or that it's not going to be a good relationship and he's going to divorce her, therefore you shouldn't do it at all?
Mm-hmm.
Which outweighs which?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems the Gemara is coming on the side that his brother's name should be wiped out.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it appears.
Mm-hmm. And why it comes to that conclusion?
based on this pasuk with Dibur Eilav. Dibur Eilav?
So maybe Dibur Eilav is there. It's a drush that what do they say? They're assuming they talked about Hagun and Lo Hagun.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what Chazal had been the soida. That was a Kodesh Baruch Hu's intention here.
Okay.
And continuing on the Mishnah, v'nikshe yivim to elav leinis kenim. So now we're continuing on the process after the kriyos on both sides. Now the yivam comes leinis kenim v'chol tenal meragla, and she removes the nal from his foot. The yarka b'fanam, and she has to do a rikika, and it's got to be roi kanir le dayonim, that the dayonim actually see the rikika. The onsa v'omra, and then after that is over, and then she says kachi osel ish ashla yivne es beis achiv, and ad kan hoyu makrin. Until this point in the pasuk, that's the bezin used to be makra. They used to go and say the words first, just like lahavdil when you have by chasana lahavdil, but by chasana you have that the masada kedushin go and says hare hare at mekdeshesli. Even though the chasan may know hare at mekdeshesli by heart, he doesn't need anybody to help him. Same thing over here. Even if they know the words, the bezin is supposed to be makri for them the words, and then they repeat after that. And that's according to the Torah. That's all you have to do until kachios leishli is meis achiv, and you're finished. Now the next pasuk after that says the nikrish may be Israel beis chalutz hanual, but that's has nothing to do with her saying anything. She just said her kachios leishli is meis achiv. However, says Yimaro kishikri horkinis tachas eile bekvar itam. And Horkinus was the officiator, he was the Mesader HaChalitza, under the Eila, underneath the tree, in Kvar Itam, a name of a place. The Gomer Eskola Parsha. In other words, he said to her and continues saying the words, not only Kochi Yoslish, actually even this, Beis Achiv, Amenikrish, might be so, Beis Chalutzanah, that she should say everything, including the next Posik. Says the Gemara, based on Horkinus, is Huchsiku, therefore all but Adinim then, adopted this minig of Reb Horkinus, Leo is Garm Kalaparsha, that she should say everything, Venikash Moy Bisrael, Beis Chalutzana. Fine. And then the Mishnah continues on, that really and truly the words Beis Chalutzanoal is Mitzvah B'Dayonim. It's the Dayonim that's supposed to say Venikash Moy Bisrael. Bisrael, the Dayonim. Flame Mitzvah B'Talmidim, and not B'Talmidim. Reb Yudoyim, Mitzvah, Kolaimdim Shamloim, Chalutzanoal. Everybody who's observing, all Jewish observers, all observant Jew that are watching and observing, they should all call out Chalutz and all, and we'll speak more about this at the end of the daf. Omer Yehuda, Mitzvah Chalitza Koira, the Koire, she says her piece, and he says his piece. V'chaletza, she does Chalitza, v'rekeka, v'rekeka, and she does rekeka, v'koira, and then she does a final kriya like we had. Frank Zimora, Rav Yehuda is telling us, Rav Yehuda is the Chana Moira. My Kamashulan, Mas Nisani. Everything that Rav Yehuda said in this truncated form, we had this in our Mishnah.
What's he coming to add?
What is he adding? Kamashulan, Mitzvah Hachi, V'ipapich Leslanba. In other words, the key word in Rav Yehuda's statement is, Mitzvahs Chalitza. Mitzvahs mean the Chachila, this is the way the mitzvah should be done. This is the proper way from A to Z, etc. What happens if you switched it around? Meaning, for instance, the Rekika was before the Chalitza. Also kosher. And therefore, Epech, less than ba, if you switched it, is also B'dievet, it's kosher. But the Chachila mitzvah is to do it this way. Tanem Mihalchi, Ben Jehiktim Chalitza L'Rekika, or Ben Jehiktim Rekika L'Chalitza, Masha Asa Asi, it says kosher, not a problem.
You don't have to repeat it.
You don't have to repeat the Rekika again. Omer Abaye, Hayman de Mikri get Chalitza, loy likri ledida, loy lechude, v'ovayabmi lechude. Temashma, ovayabmi. Ela loyovayabmi. What is the Gemara saying? Abaye is saying the Bezdin that is now officiating and is being makri the words to the Yavim and to the Yavama, they should make sure to say full concepts, full sentences, as opposed to dividing in between. By the case of Hare At Mekudesh, we do in fact say Hare, Hare, At Mekudesh. You don't say Hare At Mekudesh, Hare At Mekudesh. So here, Abaye is saying, no, you should go and say it together. Why? So again, Abaye, Haman de Mikri Get Chalitza, when the person is reading from a Get Chalitza to the Yavam or to the Yavama, so now in the case of the Yavama, don't say to her, she's supposed to say, don't say, Loi Lechudei, V'Ovayami Lechudei, the Mashma, Ovayami, because it's going to be Loi. And then Ovayami, people might think, do you want to participate in this Chalitza? Loi! Ovayami! I want to do Yibam! I don't know why I'm here today! We should be doing Yibam! So therefore say Loi Ovayami together.
It's like Yaakov, Esav, and Yibachorah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, right. Rashi brings it. Ella, Loi Ovayami. Say it all together as one. Now we're talking about his kriya. What does he say? Lechafatzi lekachta loy lechudei, and then chafatzi lechudei, because the mashma chafatzi lekachta loy, but chafatzi lekachta. So don't say that. Eli chafatzi lekachta tigan. This is what Abaye said. Rava Omar afsuki milzi, afsuki milzi lesson. It's a nishkeferlech. It's not so terrible. So, okay, so he breathed in between. So it doesn't bother me. However, Rav Ashi Ashrichel Rav Kahana to come at style Mikri La, he saw that Rav Kahana was the Bakri of Yen and he was having problems. Presumably, the reason why he was having problems is Zaytzechos, that the Yavam or the Yavam were not able to say all the words together at one time. Yeah, and each time he kept on, not necessarily that he is having the problem, he's trying to teach them which words to say. Mm-hmm. So this Yavama, unfortunately, was not lettered. She did not know Lashon HaKodesh. So he said to her, say Loi Avayami. And she wasn't able to say Loi Avayami all in one sentence or as one concept, and therefore he had to go and say Loi and Avayami. And we just said, you're not allowed to do that. So Amalei Lasavale Mar Lahadi Rava. Didn't you hear what Rava said? The Rava said, no, Afsuki Milta Nishkefer Lach. Okay, so you split it up, not so terrible. You don't have to Muchitzach to go and say it all together as one. Amalei, he said, you're right, but even Rava, Rava, he does agree that you have to say as one. But we just said that Rava said, Afsuki Milza is Gornish. What's going on over here? Mm-hmm. So Rashi explains, because the previous statement that she said before, Me'ein Yivami Lahakim Lahakim Shem Yisrael, Loi Ovayabmi, this Loi Ovayabmi is relying on the earlier portion. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Rashi, Moidirabli Avayami. Rashi is about 10 lines from the top of the Yami. Right? Moidirabli Avayami. To be in Shlo Yafsik. There you have to make sure not to be Masik. The I Masik, because if you split it up, Loi Avayami, Mashma Dehai Loi Areshikoi. It sounds like the Loi goes on the previous part. Mm-hmm. What's the previous part? The Umra, Me'ein Yevami Lahakim Li Achav Shem B'Yisrael, Loi. He doesn't want to. Kloimer, Loi Me'ein. I started saying Me'ein Yevami. My Yavam is refusing Lahakim Li Achav Shem B'Yisrael, Loi. In other words, he's Einoi Me'ein. He's not being Memayin. Elo Avayavmi. So therefore, you could, although it may not be exactly, in terms of diktuk and in terms of Hebrew pronunciation, it may not be enunciated with a proper formula. However, the loy on its own wouldn't be on its own like an orphan. The loy could be attached to the earlier, to the previous part, which he says, Me'en Yivam Lachem Hashem Yisrael, loy, and Avayami. Oh, Avol Beloy Chafatzi Lachachto. In the case of the Omar, the Yavam gets up and he says, Lachatzi Lachachto, she psichas kriyosai, there is no previous few words that he said. It's just those words of lechavas lekachta. It's like a lemei mahachi loy leel koy, that the loy goes in something else. The imafzik less limba, and therefore, in the other cases, says Rava, I'm not worried about splitting up the words. Everybody will understand in context what it means. But in the case of liyaviyami, since there's so many words preceding, a person could make the mistake the loy goes on earlier, and therefore even Rava would yeah.
But the problem is not being able to say the words for whatever together, but whatever words. What they're discussing is lo and ova yavmi.
Right.
A solution could be to say lo, then you say ova, mafsik,
mm-hmm.
yavmi, mafsik. Mm-hmm. That's the way to solve that problem. Uh-huh. Let's say she's unable to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Whatever the situation was.
Marsha has suggested.
Wait, I don't know. Okay. Omer Abaye. Now we're up to where there's an aleph in the middle of the line. Omer Abaye, Haiman de kosav gitta de chalitza, lichtiv hachi. If you're writing a get chalitza, now the get chalitza is for the dayanim to go and be makri to the yovim and to the yavam. So you're writing this get chalitza. This is different than the get chalitza that we had in the Amud Aleph, which was a receipt to as evidence that she in fact had a chalitza. Anyway, so ma'iman the kasa gita the chalitza lichtiv hachi. You should write there akrinuha lidida. We read out to her me min from the words me'en yavami. Ad of yami vakri nuhu lididei min loy ad lekachta vakri nuhu lidida min kocha viad chalutzana. What is all of this about? What this is about is that we have other gemaras that say that you're not supposed to write any words of the Torah that you're writing properly. In other words, with Torah script and on a klaf, you're not supposed to write without sirtut. Some people say shirtut if it's three or more words. fact, it's a machloikis, a mesechus gittin, whether it's three words, whether it's four words. But anything that you're writing is supposed to be written, if you're quoting from the Torah, is supposed to be written with shirtut, if it's at least three or four words. And therefore, if in this get chalitza, we're going to be quoting from psukim in the Torah, and since, says Rashi, the get chalitza was typically not written with shirtut, what's going to happen is you're going to be violating that rule about writing portions from the Torah without shirtut. Shirtut, by the way, means you have to make the lines, these invisible lines that you find in the Torah. If you look very carefully in the Sefer Torah, next time you get an aliyah, you'll see between one sentence and the other, between one line and the other, that there's a very thin, the sofer know how to go make an impression on the cloth, and then they write the letters in between those impressions.
But that's only if there's parchment and a certain type of ink and a certain type of a pen.
Yeah, all types of rules and regulations.
But it doesn't have to be done on parchment and with a pen, right?
No, this does not have to be, correct. But the point is, since
if you're going to do it that way, then it should be done the proper way.
As well as, you're not supposed to write psukim which without the benefit of sirtut. Because today we're makel on a lot of this because of the eslas l'shem eferet teresecha. But in the good old days, when they didn't have printing presses and everything was written by hand, they were very makbid on things of this nature.
Even with regular paper?
Yeah, they didn't have regular paper in those times. Everything was cloth.
No, I'm talking about 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. Today, if you want to write it.
Halacha l'maisa, you have to speak to a competent Orthodox rabbi.
What are they talking about? They're talking about here only if you're doing it in a parchment with the way it should be done.
Okay, so
but if it's done on the back of a leaf,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
we learned mm-hmm. that, you know, mm-hmm. so then it does, then it. Is that still the sirtut? It doesn't apply there, correct?
I don't know.
Okay. No, well, that's, we learned that in Menachah.
Well, we're going to have Mitzvah Maseches Gittin shortly, another couple of Maseches, we'll be able to delve more into those rules and regulations. But anyway, the point is, since the words that we are uttering now, that both the Yavam and the Yavama are three words or more, and since we're not writing it with sirtut, therefore they should not write the entire word, but rather they should go and put like three dots in between, and only say the beginning and the end written in this document. So it says by Hayman the Kosov Gita the Chalitza. He's writing the manual from which the rabbis are going to read out the words to the Yovan Yivan. Lichtav Hachi, they should go and write the following. Akrinuha Lidita. Now this, in fact, could be the Get Chalitza after the fact, where they're saying, this is what we did. We called out to her, we were makra the following words. Now, instead of writing colon, they say, ad we read out all of the words from beginning to end, from me'en yivami, leaving out parenthetically, loy, and then finished off, avayami, so you don't have a problem of sirtut, of writing more than three words together without the benefit of sirtut. The same thing. Min loy, even though here we're not saving a lot, it's loy chafatzi lekachta, it's three words. Loy, ad lekachta. We left out the chafatzi. And after that we let her say again, we were makri her. Min koch yosel ish, ashal yivnes beis ochiv, vinikishwar yisro beis chalutza noal. So again, we read out, min kocha, viad chalutza noal. Marzutra mishartit, mishartit, uksiv lekula parsha. Rav Zutra went and wrote the entire parasha, all the words. Maskel Mar Bar Idi, v'holi nitli kosev. You're not allowed to go and write all the words. In fact, Rashi brings a case that even if we're only for little babies, for little children, that you want to go and teach them how to go and say psukim, so therefore you only want to write one pasuk at a time. You're not allowed to, once you're writing in like a Sefer Torah, and you have to write a full Sefer Torah, you can't write portions and parts of the Sefer Torah. Well, not nitli kosev. However, Ilchas HaKavos is Marzutra, Halacha is like Marzutra, nevertheless, and says the Rashi, the reason is because this was not intended to be like a miniature Sefer Torah where only writing the Parsha of Chalitza, but rather this was intended to be Sfiras Dvorim Hu. This is, since this Get Chalitza, especially if it's a receipt, it's just to tell you, this is evidence that this woman had a chalitza. And what did we do? She came in front of the three rabbis, and she first said her statement, he said his statement, and then she did the chalitza, and then the Yarka Bafanov, and we saw it, and then she said her final statement. So this is not intended to be Kedusha Sefer Torah, it's the only Sviras Dvarim, so therefore, these rules and regulations do not really apply.
In this Get Chalitza, do we some of the things that are required in a get grusha apply, mm-hmm. for example, giving the names of the people? Or is it only the text that's talking? If it's only the text, what's the receipt worth? Because she's going to go somewhere else and say, here's my proof. Does it have her name in it? If it doesn't have her name, how do we know it's yours?
No, for sure it has the name, but it doesn't have the same name as the... It doesn't have the same degree of requirement as by a get. By a get, it has to have his name and her name, all that, that's min ha-toyre. Because it's the cause of law, lishma,
then
it has to be.
The date, the look, the city.
Everything.
And well, the two.
Absolutely. Those are requirements min ha-toyre, either it says explicitly or based on drashas chazal, right. And without those words, one
so
mistake.
What's required here?
This get chalitza is not required at all. This get chalitza, if it's a receipt after the fact, this is just evidence for her purposes to be able to remarry in places that people don't know her. She'll pull out the get chalitza.
So the rabbis are there. It would have her name and his name in there.
Sure, as you know, whatever identification they thought was necessary so that people would understand what's going on.
What about if they don't know Hebrew? Mm-hmm. Is there any accommodation to make sure that they understand what it says? The chalitza.
Do you mean the yavam liyavama?
Yeah.
Well, we would explain to them what they're saying. You're going to say now liyavayami, that
but
means...
But they translate it.
They translate it, but the words should be said lichatchila in Lashon HaKodesh.
Right. Okay.
Right. Yeah, but they would explain to them.
Omar
Abaye. Zog the Gemara Vayte. Omar Abaye, maskefilo? No, do we get it? Okay, Omar Abaye. Rokaka v'koltosi. Okay, so now the Gemara is going through, if you will, very practical considerations. It says in the Pasuk, v'yorka b'fanav. Now, mistakenly, one could interpret that to mean, God forbid,
in his face.
In his face. But that does not...
It means in front of him.
It means in front of his face. And the Gemara said before that the Yonim have to see the spittle. But when we say in front of his face, we mean the physical location of the spittle has to be in front of his face. Now, there's going to be a big, big issue. The issue is, what happens when she spits? If and when the ruach comes, if there's a draft, and the draft moves the spit away, and it never gets in front of his face. Now the Gemara assumes if they have to be relatively the same height, even if a second, a millisecond after she spits, the ruach takes it away, but during that millisecond it was befanav, it's not a problem. Problem is what happens if she is taller, and she is, makes the spittle, normally it would fall down in front of him, and then, you know, a second later it'd be in front of his face. But if the ruach takes it away, oh, so we got a big problem. So that's what the Gemara is going to now address, the different heights of the chosin and kala, if you will.
It doesn't have to hit the ground.
Does not have to hit the ground. No, does not have to. If the wind blew it away, it doesn't work. In other words, you'll have to do another yarka. My time, the yarka b'fanav b'inan. It's got to be b'fanav, and the draft took it away. Hilkach. So now the Gemara explains what the details are. Who aruch v'higutza, if he happens to be tall, and she is short, then there's still no problem, even if the ruach was kolate, because since she happens to be short, so then when we say befanav, it doesn't necessarily have to be in front of his face, it means in front of his person. So therefore, in front of his belly, in front of his nose, in front of his toes. But the fact of the matter is, it went befanav in front of him. However, he aruch of hugutz, what happens if she's the tall one, he's the short guy? What happens is, but even we have to wait at the mati lahadi ape, that at least it comes in front of his face, in other words, in front of the person. Even if the draft goes and blows the spittle away after that, that doesn't bother me. At least for a split second, it has to be in front of him, the fun of it. It's got to be natural saliva, not saliva that came as a result of other means. And therefore, achlatuma v'rachsa, if she just had now a piece of garlic, and as a result she developed a lot of saliva. Or achla gargishta, or some other thing. Rashi says gargishta sounds like it's adama. I don't know how people would normally go and eat adama, but some other thing that she put into her mouth that caused there to be some right.
Chewing gum.
Chewing gum, okay. Is that out of the article?
No, I
know you're giving your own example. Yeah. I know it's something that caused it to be artificial saliva, not normal.
But we learned the other day about if she spits blood.
Mm-hmm.
And they say in blood there's always some roke,
mm-hmm.
and therefore it was kosher.
Right.
Because why won't we say the same thing here?
Mm-hmm. So either this Gemara argues, or the Gemara is saying is, l'chatchila, don't do it that way. Even though the osav l'klum sounds that it's worthless, But you're right. Gemara said before that the blood included a little bit of reik, so maybe this is mechulik on the previous Gemara. Basish. But Rava says tuma v'roksa taygnish achla gegishta v'roksa liyosu leklam. My time of yarka me atzva beinan v'lek. It's got to be that the reik developed from herself and not through
stimulated.
Not stimulated. Good. V'yom Rava tzricha diyana lemechse reika ki nafing mipum diyama chasim la'inias kainem v'yarka, like we've had already a few times in our parak, that they have to actually see the reik coming out as she spits.
So he doesn't have to see it. Let's say he doesn't see it, but the Dayanim see it. That qualifies.
Not only that, the Gemara said before, even if he is a Summa, he can participate in the Chalitza ceremony. And the Mepharshim asks, why not? I mean, what is a Summa? Because he cannot see. It doesn't have to be that he sees it. The Zakenim have to see it. He doesn't have to see it at
even
all.
Though it says Befanov.
Exactly. Befanov in front of him, in front of his person. That if he closes his eyes, he says, I don't want to look. It's fine. It's kosher nevertheless. Everybody go and say, Chalutz HaNoah, Chalutz HaNoah, Chalutz HaNoah. Say three times Chalutz HaNoah, three times Chalutz HaNoah. So first of all, the chiddush of this price is that not only the Dayanim, and not only the Talmidim, but anybody that was present, anybody who was there, anu kulchem, everybody should say chalutz hanoah. That's the halacha. Now, why do they say it three times? The Gemara doesn't address that. The Mefarshim, however, give two reasons. Reason number one is to go and make an affirmative statement, because very often we find what the Rabbanan wanted, that a halacha should become a foursome, they want it to be repeated and should be said with tremendous vigor.
Islavas,
that it should get around, everybody should, oh, did you hear what happened, da, 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 and et cetera, et cetera. Another reason that's given is by, and this is something that we spoke about when we were still learning Ma'id Katan. Fred pointed out when we were still learning Ma'id Katan that it says that Rav came to visit his uncle Reb Chiya, and Reb Chiya asked, is father still alive? And he says, why don't you ask about mother? Is mother still alive? Why don't you ask about father? Because in fact, Reb Chiya was a double uncle of Rav, both paternal and maternal. Anyway, long story. So the Gemara says, when he realized from Rav's evasive answers, that both passed away, he immediately called someone and said, Chaloitz li min olai, take off my min olim, because I have to go and sit Shiva, even though it was for a short period of time. It was after 30 days, so he has to, at least, for sure, achas, he has to go and sit Shiva. So Fred pointed out, oh, so I see that Chalitza symbolizes the Nebuch Shiva and Nebuch Avelus. And if you apply this, and after that we found the Hagos Maimonides on the Rambam, in fact, says this concept. What's the whole inyan of Chalitza? If you look at Chalitza, it sounds kind of strange. She removes the shoe and she spits in front. What's this all about? So Hagos Maimonides says that the inyan of the Chalitza is because this fellow unfortunately passed away a while ago without children. Number no zecher, nothing. Yeah. So they sat Shiva after. Now the Yavim has an opportunity to go and resurrect him, if you will, l'hakam l'chashem b'Yisrael. And he says, no, l'ychafatzi l'kachta, I'm not interested. Oh, so says the Chazal. Take off his shoes, because now we're sitting a second time Shiva, second Avelas. He didn't want to resurrect him. It's like Chas v'Shalom burying him a second time, so to speak. That's on the, right? Remember we spoke about it? But the Gos Maimonides also adds, what's the Indian of Roik? Because it's another Gemara that says that Roik is Merames. It symbolizes in a certain way the Zera. The whole purpose of the Indian of Yibim is to Mazriya Zera. And he didn't want to be Mazriya Zera, so therefore she's a rocket come before him. This to say, you didn't want to go and put in your Zera, and therefore, this is in a symbolic way, she's rejecting him. Yeah.
So Roke, if, how does the Roke have to be come out of her mouth?
Mm-hmm.
If it's, we compare it to Zera.
Mm-hmm.
If it just dribbles out of her mouth, mm-hmm. is that good? I would say probably not.
No, that's gotta be.
But if it has to be with her force,
right.
Just like Zera, that's the way the Roke has to be done.
Yeah, it would so appear. Correct. Halacha l'maaseh, we'd have to check it out. Anyway, but what you're saying makes a very, very good comparison. Now, why do we have Beis Chalutz HaNoah three times? So that same Agos Maimonides brings B'Shem the Behag, B'Alolochas G'doylois, because this person, in a sense, is a bad guy for three reasons. Number one, he is an Ovel, because Nabuch is burying his brother again a second time. He doesn't want to resurrect him. Number two, he's Kimenuda. Nuda means that anybody that's Chas V'Shalom excommunicated also has some Hilchis Avelus. He hadn't misbesexed his way at Cotton, the similarities and the differences between an Ovel and Menuda. And number three, because he was Mavatel this Mitzvah of Seim and Atayr to come in Miyabim, and therefore we say Beis Chalutz HaNoah three times because of Ovel, Menuda, and violating the rule, not being Mekayim the Mitzvah. But the other reason was to go and establish it that everybody should know. So I remember when I learned this Gemara many, many years ago, I remember my chavrusa told me that he participated once in a chalitza. You know, chalitza is not a daily occurrence. It's a rather rare occurrence. And so he says he remembered when Rav Bik, Shechan Levacha, Ramoshe Bik, Bizmano, was considered to be one of the leading poskim here in America, and he was a fiery individual, a real fiery personality, and he had a very high-pitched voice. So he said that Rav Bik was going to perform a chalitza, and the Yavam Yavam apparently said, sure, anybody who wants to come, and they invited everybody, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people that crowded around to participate in that chalitza, not to participate, but to observe the chalitza. And when the chalitza was all over, so then Rav Bik called out, no, anu kolchem yedez al lachshay, and everybody should go and say now, chalutza no, they should say it three times. And when Rav Bik said, oh, everybody should say it now, so then everybody said chalutza no, and they said that chalutza no, he said it was like thunder in the middle of the day, where you could, the walls were shaking, everybody, hundreds of people, like, chalutza no, chalutza no. And he said he remembered that for the rest of his life, that this really made an impression upon him, that chalutza no, that was said three times. So that's the reason why presumably one says it, to make a real impression, people should know she's taka chalitza, a chalutza, and therefore she can remarry, and she no longer has zikha. Hanalach mitzvah chalitza, loch mitzvah chalitza, loch mitzvah chalitza, v'shami omim iman ela arusoi, some hechem to be continued tomorrow.